When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
It is now 3-0 Calgary leading Toronto. 6.5 minutes into the third period. Bennett with his third. Tkachuk with his sixth. And Monahan back in the lineup tonight with his third. It came on the power play early in the third period. So 3-0 Calgary leading in Toronto. Early second period. Kings up 1-0 on the Blues. Vilardi has the goalie there. In the third period, Sabres and Islanders tied at 2. Lightning and Hurricanes tied at 2. Panthers up 2-1 on the Stars. Later tonight, the Golden Knights play the Avalanche. Actually, that one will face off very shortly. Same deal with the Ducks and the Coyotes. 8:30 Edmonton time start for the Wild and the Sharks. The Oilers are back at it tomorrow. They will be visiting the Vancouver Canucks. Our face-off show here on 630 CHED will start at 6, and the game will start at 8 o'clock. Oilers up to 12-8 on the season. The Canucks 8-12-2. These two teams have not played since the first two games of the season, which were splits, both kind of sloppy games. The Canucks won the first one. McDavid got a hat trick as the Oilers won the second game. McDavid now with 2 hat tricks this season. He has 8 regular season hat tricks in his career and 1 in the postseason. Going to be fun. I like the North Division so far. I wonder if a month from now I might feel like, these teams again. So far the Oilers haven't played anybody. What are they up to? 4 times with most teams, still 3 with the Flames, still 2 with the Canucks. I guess Montreal's at 3 games. They're going to be up to 7 games with the Leafs by next Thursday, because the Leafs are here. Next Wednesday. The Leafs are here Saturday, Monday, Wednesday. So we'll see how we all feel about it. The league has said it is a one-off. I do wonder if the NHL might alter some things next season. Again, assuming that next year is a normal travel year with a normal schedule and hopefully fans in the buildings. I don't think they want to go with the Canadian division again, but maybe they'll go with some sort of double headers to cut down on traveling. I've talked about this before. I mean, if the Oilers have to make 2 trips to California, do you need to go twice? Could you play San Jose Monday and Tuesday, LA Thursday and Saturday, and the Ducks the following Monday and Tuesday? And you cut down on the travel and you just get things all done. I know for some teams, especially LA, for example, there's 2 basketball teams in there as well. Other teams share with NBA or have college basketball played in their facility, so that could make it a little bit tougher, but something to keep an eye on as we move along here. Dave Tippett was asked today if he has a set plan for his 2 goaltenders.
You know what? We're going to take it game by game here, because with the shortened schedule, you're going to need both guys. But it's, if you look at the next couple weeks, isn't bad. But then we get into a stretch where it's a lot of games in a short amount of nights. So you got to make sure they both get enough practice, both get enough work out of game work. But then you got to make sure they're rested enough to play the games as well as they can. So that's a big advantage, having both guys back. And Mikko played really well the other night, so both guys playing well, and that's what we were hoping for, and hopefully we can keep going that way.
Yeah, we were talking about Darnell Nurse earlier in the show. Somebody wrote in and said, is he a Norris Trophy candidate at this point? Well, he's playing great. He has 16 points in 20 games, averaging 25.5 minutes of ice time. One of the knocks on Darnell was that he could rush the puck, and then sometimes the play would die once he got in inside the offensive blue line with it. I think he's looking better there, and he was asked today about improving his puck skills.
Getting a little more confident, putting in a lot of time, a lot of work in the off seasons. It's funny, this off season I worked more on my skating than anything else, because I don't think I even saw OT because the pandemic. So it's just confidence coming in and, studying the game. I think it put a lot of hours in watching the game and seeing where I could be better. And that was one of the areas I felt like I could take a big stride. Not just of creating offense, but, you know, finding ways to get out of our own zone. And it's been good so far, and it's got to continue. As you get older, everyone always says that the game slows down a little bit. And with that, as long as you keep the right mindset to keep working, I feel like there's even more I can tap into.
Yeah, Darnell Nurse looking good this year for sure. Oilers and Canucks coming up tomorrow here on 630 Chet. All right, we're going to call a quick timeout. We're looking to bring you James Wilder Jr. from the EE football team in the next couple of minutes. Great track. Come away, come Appreciate away. You tuning in tonight. Remember this name, Richard Petio, briefly an Edmonton Oiler in his pro career, now assistant coach with the Camrose Kodiaks, and he's going to check in with us in about half an hour as the Alberta Junior Hockey League will resume its season. So Richard will tell you about his journey through pro hockey, getting into coaching, and how the team is feeling, knowing that they have games coming up. Also remember this, jackpots for junior hockey. The jackpots for junior hockey 50-50 will run each weekend in March. So what's going to happen is you'll and the proceeds from the funds will help the junior teams in Alberta. So that's the 5 WHL teams and then all the teams, the 15 teams in the AJHL who have, they're going to lose a ton of revenue here from the pandemic and the suspension of play. So you get to do this 50-50 online. So keep an eye out for that. I'm reading this off the AJHL website, but of course the WHL put out their own release. The AJHL did get approval just, 3 days ago from the government of Alberta to resume their season. So we'll see how that's going to work. The Alberta teams in the Western Hockey League are going to pick up their seasons this weekend. So the Edmonton Oil Kings will be in action, and we'll talk more about them as we move along here on the show. The Oilers, lots of positive storylines. We've been talking about the defense tonight. Darnell Nurse, Tyson Barry, really solid pairing. Nurse is producing points. Barry, after a slow start to the season, has helped the power play. Looks a lot better 5-on-5, and Dave Tippett commented on that pairing today.
Both of them as individuals have played really well here lately, but they've meshed pretty good. Nurse has just really played a strong all-round game, both sides of special teams. He doesn't get as much power play, but big-time penalty killer for us. And Barry's really got comfortable in the role as on the power play. And the two of them together, they've meshed pretty well. And, they normally play with one of those top two lines that they help move the puck and help drive those lines. So both of them have been pretty good.
Yeah, both really good. So we'll see if they can keep going. I think those guys have been excellent. You've seen a lot of good showings from other members of the Oilers defense. William Lagesson, for one. Now, he's been out the last 3 games. And I wasn't overly thrilled when they were playing William Lagesson and leaving some other players in the press box. But he was good. I think he settled Larson down a little bit. And Larson has looked better lately, playing with Chris Russell as well. But Lagesson injured a week ago against the Jets. We haven't seen Ethan Bear now in over 3 weeks. Both of them were on the ice for practice today. And here's the Tippett update.
Lagesson's not ready. He won't play tomorrow night. Ethan Bear had a good day today, and he's going to check with the doctors today. And so we'll have a better idea in the morning where he's at.
So here's what could possibly happen tomorrow. Nurse and Barry together. You got Larson down the right side, probably still paired with Chris Russell. Cuckoo is out on long-term injured reserve with the broken collarbone. So does Jones come in tomorrow, or is it Bear and Bouchard? And if so, who moves over to the left side? Now, we've seen in practices that Bouchard has taken a few rotations on the left side. So maybe he's the one that moves over and Bear stays on the right side. This is if Bear can go. If not, I mean, you might have to bring Jones back into the lineup. We haven't seen him for a while. I still think he's going to be an important member of the team moving forward. So that's something to consider when you look at the blue line. I think it's going to be Nurse and Barry. Chris Russell will stay in with Larson. Lagesson's out. We now know Cuckoo is out. So then you're looking at either Jones or Bear or Bouchard. So I think if Bear comes in, he's going to be on the right side. Who knows? Maybe it could be Jones and Bouchard if Bear's not quite ready. But we don't know yet, so we'll have to get that update from the morning skate tomorrow in Vancouver. Bob Stauffer will have more on Oilers now. It's been entertaining for me to watch Evan Bouchard. Now, he doesn't always play a ton. In a couple of the lower scoring games that the Oilers have found themselves in, Tippett limited his ice time. That's often a journey young players go through. You don't play as much. Coaches aren't as comfortable putting you out in tight games. But I do think you have to play players at least a bit in that situation. Why? Well, because of what we're talking about earlier in the show. You have to get them used to it. So either they go into that situation and they succeed, and hopefully they learn something from that. Or if they fail, then hopefully they learn the lesson the hard way. And I know that's, you know, nobody wants to hear about that. Well, you put a young guy on the ice and there was a goal against, but I do think that's part of the learning process. You know, Todd McClellan used to get criticized a lot for playing Matt Benning late in games when Benning was a rookie. And then, you know, Benning went on to have a couple of decent seasons with the Oilers. He's now in Nashville. So I'd be reluctant to take Bouchard out of the lineup at this point, simply because with the puck on his stick, he adds so much to the game. Like he has skill to his game and dimensions to his game that we haven't seen from a lot of Oilers defensemen, well, in a long time, especially new guys just coming into the league. You know, Klefbom was a pretty high pick. Nurse was a pretty high pick. But what Bouchard can do with the puck is, I think, unparalleled for an Oilers defenseman who is that young, and especially one they drafted on their own. And he fires the puck. He can get the puck off with a slap shot, with a quick little snapshot, with a wrist shot, and he can pass. He can get it out of his own end, and he can get it through the neutral zone. Pretty much all young players struggle defending, especially early in their careers. I think that to some extent you have to live with that and shelter them when possible and hope that they learn relatively quickly. But there's something to Bouchard's game that really an Oilers defenseman hasn't had in a long time. And then there's Tyson Barry, who, let me ask you this. When was the last time the Oilers had an offensive defenseman as good as Tyson Barry? Now, we're still early in the season, but when was the last time they had an offensive defenseman as good as Tyson Barry? And again, is he a wizard 5-on-5? Okay, maybe not. I don't think he's as bad as some of the knocks he was hit with last season while he was playing with Toronto. And it didn't start well with him under Babcock. Once Babcock was let go in Toronto, Barry played better under Sheldon Keefe. All right, the team petered out in the playoffs. Barry's one of the guys who takes the blame for that. He's not re-signed. He winds up here in Edmonton. But he's doing things that we haven't seen from somebody on the Oilers' back end in a long time. Right-handed shot, firing the puck on the power play. He wasn't doing it first 8 or 9 games. Now he started taking the slap shot. Now he started loosening up the defenders so the cross-ice pass is more available because they got to be out closer to Barry guarding against his slap shot. And now he's also joining the rush, or he's driving with the puck. First goal against Calgary on Friday. Drives down low, centers it to Puljujärvi. He's in the net, joining the rush, getting a shot. So that's one of the things that's really exciting to me is when we've talked about offensive depth lacking for the Oilers, it's usually been they got nothing on lines 3 and 4. Or a couple of years ago, nothing after the first line except for Nugent Hopkins. But now not only are some of the depth forwards pitching in, you got defensemen pitching in. I said earlier about Nurse probably doesn't keep scoring at that rate, but the goals are already in the bank and they help win games early in the season. And now Barry is picking it up. So that's all very encouraging. There are a lot of things about the team that I think you say are positive and hopefully at least somewhat sustainable, right? I mean, that's the buzzword in hockey. A lot of the analytics guys use that. This guy's good, but that's unsustainable. Okay, yeah. You know, Mike Smith's save percentage, that's unsustainable. No, a goalie's not going to finish with a 940. Can he be a solid 915 to 920? Yeah, maybe. if Koskinen gets a little more rest, can he be a 9-10 to a 9-15? Yeah, maybe. Can Tyson Barrie keep getting, I don't know, 3 points every five games, chipping in that way? At the very least, he's above that rate right now, but saying if he just drops off a little bit, yeah, that's possible. We're not looking at things and saying, okay, this guy is on an absolute heater, and we know there's no way it's going to stay anywhere near that level. We have guys on heaters where I think you can say it should at least be in that neighborhood, even if it's not right up there at that level. And that's what's encouraging. Challenge tomorrow for the Oilers, no letdown. You've won three in a row. You've swept Calgary. You're playing Vancouver. Don't lay an egg. Stay consistent. Stay consistent with your effort and your performance. Show that professionalism. Absolutely, Playfair should get some credit. Somebody just texted in. Jim Playfair and Dave Tippett worked together in Arizona. They were a good duo there, and now I think we're seeing they're a good duo in Edmonton. And it's interesting about Tippett, because a lot of the criticism he faced earlier in the season, from me included, now we're understanding, okay, maybe an NHL hockey coach actually knows when to make changes and when to be patient. Why is Lagesson in the lineup? Well, Lagesson was doing okay. Why is Smith starting three games in a row? Well, Smith did pretty good at bouncing back from that game in Winnipeg, right? Why doesn't he put that? That was what I was crying for. I spent months crying for that. Put Nugent Hopkins back with Draisaitl and Yamamoto. Well, now Nugent Hopkins, McDavid, and Puljujarvi is pretty good. And honestly, I think that Draisaitl, and this is perhaps inappropriate criticism because the team's doing so well, Draisaitl can play better. But the team is still able to win, and that's what you need. You can't just have your stars and nothing else, and if your stars aren't on the score sheet, you're right off the game. As you know, Draisaitl's 5-on-5 play has been probably just okay the last two or three games. Yamamoto's been a little up and down. Cahoon was on that line. Ennis was on that line. They probably had a little more jump when Ennis was there, but I think they want Cahoon there longer term, or at least for a few stretch of games as we move along here. So all those things, you look at it and say...
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, winning 9 out of every 11, highly unlikely. But getting 60% of their points the rest of the way? They already have 60% of their points? Yeah, probably. You can probably do that. You can't let up, and you can't have a severe drop off in any of the areas that have been working. That's how I look at that. Calgary up 3-0 on Toronto. 3 minutes left in the third period. The Leafs desperate here. They have a power play, so they've already pulled their goalie to try to pull off the miraculous comeback as Calgary looks to end their slide. You can check in at 780-496-0063. Colton says, I don't care if we play boring 2-1 hockey like the old Arizona Coyotes. As long as the Oilers win, I'll take a boring win over an exciting loss. Yeah, well, I do think, you know, some games we got to just acknowledge that are entertaining, like Rob and I did last Monday against Winnipeg. But big picture, for sure, find a way to win. Win different types of games. Can you win a game 2-0 or 2-0, 1-0, 2-1, 3-2? Oilers have been able to bank a few of those. We'll visit with Richard Petio, former Oilers defenseman, now with the Camrose Kodiaks. We'll talk a little bit about that Mike Babcock story, too, when we get back. All right, here's the deal. Calgary has defeated Toronto 3-0. David Rittich got the shutout, and they flashed up a little graphic there on Sportsnet when he won the game. David Rittich is the first Flames goaltender to get a shutout in Toronto since 1977. Now, of course, in 1977, it was the Flames the Atlanta Flames, not the Calgary Flames. So he's actually the first Calgary Flames goaltender to get a shutout in Toronto. First Flames goaltender since 1977. That goaltender was, and I'm not ashamed to admit that I had never heard of this goaltender. He would have last played in the NHL when I was four. Well, actually, probably still three. I probably hadn't turned four yet. Yves Boulanger. Kellen, do you remember this goaltender?
I don't remember the goaltender. I remember his face mask, though, because back in the day, I had like a picture book of old goalie masks from like the Jacques Plante era on until like Patrick Waugh. And I think Dan Bouchard and Yves Boulanger's face masks from the Atlanta Flames of all teams were like a centerfold in that book or something.
Okay, what was his mask?
It was like, I could get it confused, but it's like one of those old school front face things with like flames on the front of it. And
okay, I just found it. Yeah, so it's white on top, and then it sort of has orange flames that turn into red flames on the bottom.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. This is, I'm learning a lot today. Yves Boulanger, who may have had his face mask on the cover of TV Times once out of the Edmonton Journal, given by the images I've looked up.
Wow.
If anybody remembers Yves Boulanger, please let me know. So a little bit about Yves Boulanger. He's now 68 years of age. He was born in Baie-Comeau, Quebec. He was never drafted into the NHL. But he was signed in the WHA, the World Hockey Association, by the Cleveland Crusaders, eventually wound up in the NHL with the St. Louis Blues, traded to Atlanta, and then finished his career with Boston. Yves Boulanger, he played 78 NHL games, had 29 wins, 33 losses, did not record a tie, which is, yes, he did. Oh, yeah, he did. They just didn't have put that in the column. Had some ties, whatever. He had two shutouts, one of which, we're not counting ties. We had two NHL shutouts in 78 appearances, one of which was against the Toronto Maple Leafs sometime in 1977, and now David Rittich has done that. Colton said, did Rittich do his famous stick flip? He did not. I didn't see right at the end of the game. I'm pretty sure he didn't do a stick flip. Colton's being funny. Steven says, McDavid on Saturday reminded me of Aaron Rodgers. Sometimes he decides he's throwing five touchdowns and the other team just has to accept it. Yeah, McDavid looked like he was scoring at will against the Flames. Pretty awesome performance. But the Flames bounced back and they win in Toronto. Hey, I'm going to say something here, everybody. Toronto, if everybody wants to be really, really optimistic tonight, we're allowed to be optimistic every once in a while. So let me ask you this. Do you think Edmonton could catch Toronto for first place? 6 points back. They've now both played 20 games, 36 games remaining. The Oilers would have to win probably four out of the five remaining games against the Leafs. They have them at three for Rogers Place starting on Saturday. Three at Rogers Place starting on Saturday. Could the Oilers play that well that they could reel in Toronto for first? There's a little storyline for you. Anyway, Calgary wins tonight. They're back up to 500, 9-9-1. Other action, Panthers beat the Stars 3-1. Late in the third, the Lightning are up 3-2 on the Hurricanes. Islanders win at home 3-2 against the Sabres. Kings up 2-0 on the Blues. That is after two. Late in the first, no score. Golden Knights and Avalanche. And about 7 minutes left in the first period. Ducks already up 2-0 on the Coyotes, who only have three shots on goal. Silverberg and Jones, the goals in that game. Wild and Sharks coming up a little bit later on. All right. See, Rocket's texting stuff about Yves Boulanger that isn't true, and I almost read it on air. I'm not reading that, Rocket. That's filthy. Well, it's not filthy. It's kind of funny, but it's a bit titillating. I'm not going to read that. All right. One big story over the weekend. You may have heard about this. Mike Babcock, one of the great coaches in the NHL over the last, 20 years or so, Olympic coach for Canada, is going to university hockey. He will be coaching the Saskatchewan Huskies Dave Hardy is the chief athletics officer at the U of S. Stauffer and I talked to him on Saturday. I want to play the meat and potatoes of that interview. And Hardy started off by explaining how he possibly got Mike Babcock to come coach his hockey team.
Well, you know, when we had the vacancy, I reached out to Mike. I had a previous relationship with Mike. I taught him, et cetera. I've stayed in touch with him through the years. He's got a great relationship with the University of Saskatchewan, with Saskatoon. And you know, we reached out in late December, and we're in discussions all of January, and it was like a perfect storm, Reed. It just all seemed to come together. It fit his personal needs, his family needs, his professional needs. Obviously, we're ecstatic to have somebody of Mike's caliber join us. So that was never in question, but it began to meet Mike's needs. And so we're so pleased with the announcement today.
Personal observation here, Dave. I can't believe you haven't convinced Sarge to leave the Hilltops. I think he's got six championships, given that you used to be at that organization, too, to help out your – I know you've got a good football coach. I'm just having fun with you.
Yeah, I know.
Look, I am not a fan of people who enjoy schadenfreude, and it seemed that, to me, Mike was a bit of a human pinata about a year ago in its sort of old school, new school. I watched Mike win with Lethbridge in 1994. Alberta beat many of those same players 14-2 less than 18 months earlier, actually, when Dave Adolph was coaching at Lethbridge. You know, did you have conversations about, you know, what did you do with Lethbridge? Because the Huskies have always had great talent. They just haven't quite been on Alberta and UNB's level in terms of closing out the deal. But did you talk to Mike about maybe how he energized and infused that group of Lethbridge? And was that a recipe that he could perhaps bring into the short term in Saskatchewan in the next couple of years?
Well, we're certainly hopeful that that will happen, that Mike will take us to the next level. You know, Dave Adolph has built a great program here. Between Alberta, UNB, top three programs in the country, maybe Acadia's there, you know, others. You followed that as close as I have. But I do think that Mike has a history of winning at every place that he's been. And I think he will follow a similar recipe. I think that Dave has followed in terms of bringing Saskatchewan kids in, hard workers, grinders, captains, leaders, good students. I think he'll follow that recipe. And you know, with that aura that he has of winning and that competitive edge that he has, can hopefully drive us over the edge.
He brings instant credibility into a sport that is unfortunately the best kept secret out there. That was Claire Drake's line 40 years ago. But let me ask you this. Is there an opportunity for mentorship? Is there somebody that you guys have targeted? Because let's be realistic. Mike's going to be there maybe a couple. I mean, he's going to be on everybody's top of the list for an NHL head coaching job here in the next 18 months. You know where I'm going here, Dave. So have you guys targeted a couple of younger coaches that maybe Mike could help bring along that could eventually take the long-term reins of the U of S program?
Absolutely. You know, Mike has sort of made a two-year commitment. That could be more, it could be less. We all know that. And so I think, you know, Mike has volunteered to do this position. And everybody in Canada West, everybody in U Sports, got limited budgets. So what we plan on doing is using that money that we normally would have paid to the head coach and hire a full-time assistant, somebody that would be in position to be able to take the position in 2 years or 3 years or 1 year or whatever. So, you know, we haven't had the luxury of having a full-time assistant, paid assistant coach. And this Mike coming on board, especially in a volunteer position, will give us that opportunity to do that.
Dave, Babcock's coming to a situation where the players are student athletes. You know, most of them will not play pro hockey after they're done at the University of Saskatchewan, from an environment where everybody was a pro and that was their livelihood, and some of them were making a heck of a lot of money doing to it. Did you discuss sort of that transition to, you know, the environment that combines a high-level sport but with academics and community involvement and all those types of things?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Mike's a smart guy, and Mike has been a student athlete. He's coached student athletes. He knows that our student athletes, most of them are in professional colleges. They're here for 5 years or 4 years. They're not here. We're not bringing in 1 year wonders. We're not breaking the mold. I think Mike's a smart guy. He'll get that all figured out. He'll be able to manage these guys. His own son was a student athlete, hockey down in NCAA UCLA program. So he gets all of that. I think he checks all the boxes.
Hey, one final one here for you, Dave. I was reading Darren Zeri in the fall, and I thought I saw that you were stepping down. So does this mean that now that you got Mike aboard on the hockey side, you're going to maybe hang around for a couple more years, or what's happening
there? No, I don't have a couple more years in my tank, but we're in search mode right now, and support Mike as much as we can and transition him into the next group of leadership here. So that's where we're going with that.
All right, that's our chat with Dave Hardy, Chief Athletics Officer at the University of Saskatchewan. He makes the big hire, bringing him in as a volunteer coach. Dave Babcock is going to be running the Huskies bench for the next couple seasons or less, I suppose. Old Roadhog texting in, previously from Lashburn. Lashburn's a great town in Saskatchewan. He says, I remember Yves Bélanger had a pretty good guy ahead of him on the depth chart. I had to look that up. I was alive in the late 70s. But I don't remember the hockey. Dan Bouchard was ahead of him in Atlanta, and Gilles Gilbert and Jerry Cheevers would have been ahead of him for his brief stay with the Boston Bruins. So there is your random ex-NHLer of the night, Yves Bélanger. Talk a little bit about the AJHL returning with Richard Petio when we get back. Right, appreciate you tuning in tonight. WHL starting up on the weekend for your Edmonton Oil Kings. The Alberta Junior Hockey League getting close to playing as well. I'm pleased to welcome to the show the assistant coach for the Camrose Kodiaks. It is Richard Petio on the line. Richard, you're on with Reed. How are you doing?
Good, Reed. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
Good. It is a pleasure to talk to you. We talked earlier today to set up this interview. I would have seen you play a little bit with the Camrose Kodiaks when I was working in Lloyd. I apologize. I don't specifically remember you. It was 20 or 21 years ago. But before we get into your coaching stuff, tell me a little bit about that path. I mean, you're one of those guys played in the AJ and then college before eventually becoming a pro.
Yeah, thanks, Reed. Yeah, I was a bit of a late bloomer. I was able to play with the Kodiaks back in 2001. And that was my 18-year-old year. We were able to go on and win the national championship that year. We had an amazing team, a great group of guys. We all got along well, really came together. And then from there, I went on and played college hockey for 4 years down in Colorado. I got a degree in history there. And from there, I signed with the LA Kings. I was drafted by LA out of Camrose and signed my pro contract and played 8 years pro. Very grateful for what I got to do and thankful as well. So.
Well, and what's cool, you grew up in Daysland, did you not?
Yes, I did. Yeah, small town, about 700 people.
Yeah. That is awesome. Athletically, we have nothing in common because you're 20 times the athlete I am, obviously. But we both grew up, I grew up in Evansburg, so we had that small town experience. How do you feel that sort of shaped you as a player and as a person?
Yeah, I think it was great. Grew up in a small town. For me specifically, I was able to go to the rink like whenever I wanted, basically, to work on my game. And the rink was kind of always open for us. We had that, the little extra ice time that, most people in the city unfortunately don't get to have. And growing up in a small town, I have a tight-knit group of friends and, family. And, everyone knows each other in a town, so they're able to help you out. Give you guidance, lead you in the right direction. So small towns are definitely awesome to be a part of, and I'm grateful for growing up in Daysland for sure.
You played several seasons of pro hockey, mostly in the American Hockey League. Yeah, you did get into some NHL games, including a couple with the Edmonton Oilers. Take me back to playing a couple of, but I'm assuming you grew up an Oilers fan or at least watching the team. So what was it like to get into a couple games for Edmonton?
Yeah, it was truly amazing, dream come true. Yeah, I did grow up an Oilers fan. Quick story, so took a lot of hard work and dedication and determination to get where I was. And growing up, my dad, he worked extremely hard, and he was a custodian at the school in Daysland. the janitor there, and he also drove a Greyhound bus. So I was fortunate when I was young, probably about 5 or 6, to go up to the game. He took a group of people from the Daylon area up to the game to watch a game, and I don't remember much about the game. I do remember Gretzky played, which is pretty awesome, but the dedication and hard work from my dad. So with 5 minutes left in the game, he said, we have to go. You got to go start the bus. And it was a close game. I wanted to stay and watch Gretzky and all that, but just, you know, all his hard work and dedication there, I got from him. And I know my siblings as well have also inherited that hard work and dedication. So, you know, when the game did come 20-some years later, it was a cool experience. I had all my friends and family there, and definitely something I'll never forget.
That is awesome, Richard. I love how you tell that story and the impact of your dad. That is such an awesome story. Well, and now you're the one who's leading the way with the next generation of athletes. Tell me about joining the Kodiaks coaching staff. How have you enjoyed the transition into coaching?
Yeah, no, it's been awesome. It's been a chance to give back. I started about 2 years ago with the Kodiaks, but before that, I've been running some hockey in a local area. I run a program called Power Edge Pro. And then I've also coached some of my nephews along the way in minor hockey and that. And I really enjoy coaching. You know, it's the biggest thing I see in the coaching is seeing the development, the improvement of players from practice to practice and year to year. It's just amazing, and it's truly rewarding to see that. With the Kodiak specifically, I'm with the D mostly. And that's what I've played growing up and played pro and all that, so I just rely on my experiences and try to provide all the players with as much as I can, give them supportive feedback. I think being positive is a huge part of coaching today. So.
Yeah, for sure. So what have you guys been able to do while you've been waiting to see whether or not you're going to have a season? Have there been any sort of team activities?
Just on Zoom, basically. We've got Zoom meetings and Zoom workouts, and you know, the guys have been working hard through the Zoom, which is good to see. And I talked to one of the players today, Brent Davis, the captain of our team, and you know, they're able to get on themselves and chat and on Zoom and have a good time. But they've not only been working hard with the coaches running the Zoom workouts, they've been lifting the weights themselves and trying to keep busy during this quarantine period where they're on currently at home. And sometime this week they'll be coming back to Camrose, hopefully, and get the season started here. So,
do you guys have a schedule yet, or are we still waiting?
No, there's no schedule yet, so we're still waiting on that. We don't know what teams will be playing first or anything. So, but sometime here in March, early March, I bet you'll be back playing. So.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that, Richard. I mean, like I said, I covered the AJ in Lloyd for 7 years. It keeps getting a little further in the rearview mirror, but it was a time I really enjoyed, and it's cool to hear that you're coaching the Kodiaks. That's been a really strong program for a long time, so good for you, and I'm glad we're going to be talking about actual games in the HHL. So enjoy it, man. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Reed. You know, it's the players are excited to get back and play, that's for sure. It's been a long time they've had off since November. They had last played. So, talking with Brent, he said it was the longest time he's had off for being on the ice since he was probably 4. So, it's crazy.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Good stuff, Richard. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay. Thank you. Hey.
Richard Petio checking in tonight, now an assistant coach with the Camrose Kodiaks. I was really happy to hear that about the Alberta Junior Hockey League for sure. Quickly updating the scoreboard. 2-0 Kings up on the Blues in the third after the first. No score, Golden Knights and Avalanche. Ducks lead the Coyotes 2-0 late in the first. Calgary won 3-0 in Toronto. Islanders beat the Sabres 3-2. Lightning over the Hurricanes 4-2. Panthers beat the Stars 3-1. Tomorrow at 6, it's the Faceoff Show. The play-by-play is at 8 as the Oilers take on the Vancouver Canucks. Thanks to Dave Campbell, the producer of Inside Sports. Thanks to Kellen Kennedy, our studio producer tonight. My name's Reed. Take care.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.